Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and welcome to our regular sports show, Game of Two Halves, every Monday live on Money FM 89.3 at 5:15 p.m., where we host the sports podcasters from the Straits Times. I'm joined today by Straits Times sports correspondent Sazali Abdulaziz, and we have a very special guest with us as well, Football Association of Singapore General Secretary Yazeen Buhari. Welcome, guys. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rachel, and thanks for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure to have both of you with us. Now, last Friday, the FAS confirmed the return of the Singapore Premier League, or SPL, after almost 7 months. And the league will resume this Saturday, October 17th, and will draw to a close on December 13th. Welcome news for local football fans who'd been waiting for the announcement for months. Yazeen, perhaps you can share with us, how long had your team been planning for the restart of the SPL?
Rachel, you know, first of all, we are obviously very happy and pleased with the news that has come through last Friday for the resumption. But on top of that all, we are also very much aware of the responsibility. While it is just football in the SPL that's going to be resumed, we are also mindful that, you know, it is going to be a test bait to ensure that perhaps the confidence levels of authorities may be there to allow for other sporting activities to continue. As far as how long we have been planning for, it is kind of a it was a roller coaster experience, given especially at the initial stage of the measures that were in place during the circuit break and stuff. We had a few scenario plannings on what needs to be done and whether the league can go on, but we wanted to ensure that in whichever format or whichever way that we wanted the league to resume, the safety of not just the players, but the community at large, given the players are in contact with people outside the fraternity as well. We wanted to make sure that that is our top priority. So there were a lot of discussions that happened, you know, my colleagues from the office, Sport Singapore and the various ministries, and guidance was given, and it was critical in us coming up with the protocols and assessing and applying the best practices that we got from other leagues as well.
I think it was an exceptionally long pre-season for the players. You know, they were waiting, so, since the league was suspended on March 24th, they had actually been doing home-based workouts for a couple of months during the circuit breaker, and then they started training in small groups in June, and then obviously they managed to return to normal training on September 1. So that's actually basically five to seven months of pre-season. Usually they have only two or three. So it really is an incredible scenario for the players and something that, you know, a lot of them were experiencing for the first time in their careers. So yeah, I think they're just thrilled to be, you know, back finally, looking forward to competitive football again.
So despite the 1 week notice, they're all raring to go.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are physically, you know, more or less ready actually.
So perhaps can you shed some light on the process of planning the restart? How often did FAS meet with the relevant authorities, for example?
Well, we couldn't meet. It was, we're still in working from home, but there were a lot of discussions. And it's, like I mentioned, it's not just pertaining to safeguarding the players and the officials, but how in any actions that we are proposing will not compromise the safety of the community at large. Mm. And because of the very fluid situation that we experienced at the start or in the early part of our COVID measures, there were instances where we had to come back and relook at that whole process. But, you know, as Sazali mentioned, you're right, it's a long pre-season, 5-7 months actually. But it also gave us the opportunity to look at how best we can take advantage of the situation. And you would have read that the players and officials, they looked at developing themselves in other ways. We did give them some avenues for them to be able to partake in causes that would be applicable to them, whether they are still a player or for any post-career transition as well.
So this must have been a really busy time for you. What was the biggest challenge that you faced?
The challenge is to keep people motivated, not just the players, even ourselves, you know, because they are football players and they do their stuff. Their craft is on the field of play when the games are played. And when you're told to do that at home, to do it online, whatever trainings in whichever ways, it was always going to be a little bit tough. Of course, at the start, they were excited because it's a new way of doing it. But then when you go into a prolonged length of doing that, it gets a little bit of a, it takes a little bit of an effect on how you're motivated, staying motivated as well. So that was the challenge. And I've got to give credit to the players and the clubs for constantly being with us, helping us to make sure that, you know, in whichever situation that we find ourselves in, we never kind of lost sight of wanting to get the league back.
So was there any moment at all where you felt that the league might not return in 2020?
I don't think there were no instances of that. We obviously planned for that as well as part of the scenario plannings. And there are implications as to what would happen if the league is suspended or if the league is cancelled for the season. There are obligations that we do have to our partners, obligation to our sponsors. Then, of course, you do have players' contracts that we're talking about, and this is a livelihood of players. It's a professional league.
I think there were, and maybe to Yazin and his team might not have appreciated this, or the authorities might not have appreciated this, but there were plenty of rumours that started circulating as far back as June when the move to Phase 2 about so-called cut-off dates, where, you know, let's say by August the league doesn't kick off, it's going to be suspended for the rest of the year. I'm sure Yazin has heard some of these rumours himself. So, and the dates just kept moving and moving and moving, you know, even, you know, up to a week or a couple of weeks prior to FAS announcing, you know, the league would return. There were rumours that, oh, you know what, you know, if mid-October they don't announce it, you know, this season is gone, you know, which is, you know, but, you know, behind the scenes, credit to Yazin and his team, they've been working hard. I think the rumours just reflected the anxiety of the football fraternity as a whole. Everybody wasn't sure what was going to happen. And as Yazin said, these are livelihoods of players and coaches we're talking about.
Well, we've reached the halfway point of our podcast. If you like the Straits Times Game of Two Halves podcast, you can listen live on Money FM 89.3 from 5:15 p.m. every Monday. Or you can subscribe to hashtag Game of Two Halves on the Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts or Spotify, and like us and give us a rating. Now, we still have Yazin Buhari, FAS General Secretary, with us on this episode, and he'll share with us what fans can expect when the Singapore Premier League resumes this weekend on October 17th. So in terms of action on the pitch, what are you most looking forward to, Yazin?
Of course, the football, of course, a competitive football, of course. But I'm also looking forward to seeing how the players react to be back on the field. You know, we saw happy faces of players and officials when we started training in full on 1st of September. And I'm obviously looking forward to that.
I think there's actually, you know, a lot more at stake than people, you know, some people realise. I think for the first time, there's direct qualification for the Asian Champions League group stage, you know, associated with the league finishes. And you know, some people think, oh, it's a truncated season, you know, the local football authorities are doing it for the sake of it. But like I said, there's a lot at stake. And we could see, you know, teams really go hard and go all out in the remaining rounds of games. And, you know, that could translate into a very exciting last few months of football for local football fans.
So can you share with us, and what are some of the resumption protocols that are in place for the restart?
We do have, one of the first thing is, of course, the match day protocols. They have done the first bit, which is going for the swab test. And then now we come down to the match day protocols. It's a new normal. We have seen that in other leagues on TV, in the English Premier League and stuff, but one that's necessary to minimize any risk. And this includes, you know, the number of people on match day, as I mentioned earlier, to keeping that figure down to below 100. And that includes the players, officials, medical staff, and also the arrival time, the staggered arrival time, so that, you know, you don't have congregations of players at any one particular time. We are also possibly looking at medical staff to be equipped with PPE, because they may come in direct contact with the players in any incidences of injuries. And of course, the technical area layout will observe social distancing. So we will see officials there. And we may see the substitutes not being at the dugout, but rather be at the stand that will be marked out as well. So those are the key protocols that we have in place. And of course, right after the match, there will be staggered times for people to leave the facility as well.
Yasin, will there be handshakes between the players and the referees and the coaches? Will there be ball boys?
No, we will have ball boys, but obviously there's a protocol for ball boys to go about doing what they need to do. They will be equipped with all the sanitizing tools and the sprays. There will be no handshakes at all, unfortunately. But there are other ways to still, you know, have that connection. We have seen some leagues have the fist bump, and we've seen the Malaysian league having the hand to the chest as a way of greeting. So, to your question, no handshakes, but we will have fist bumps.
There will be fortnightly swab tests for players and officials. And of course, while we hope that every test does come back negative, can you shed some light on what happens if somebody tests positive? Would he be sent to isolation, or would the whole league be halted?
Yeah, we do have infection protocol on such cases, and it's no different to, you know, the prevailing steps that the government has for any positive case. But it is only right and responsible that, you know, for any such actions to be undertaken, we will follow to protect the player or the official, and to also protect the people that he comes in contact with, and of course the larger community. So we will undertake any steps that we will have to follow, just so for the safety of the fraternity.
And I know you've mentioned the limited number of people in the stadiums, but is there any chance that we could see fans return to the stadiums before the season's up, or will it be closed door the whole way?
Oh, well, even I have to get approval in order to go down to the stadium to watch. So, you know, but of course, fans, you know, they have always made atmospheres at venues all the more better. Mm. But for now, we will see how these matches go and the adherence of the protocols and the measures pan out. Let's see how that goes. We had a good support. You know, I have to mention this. We started off very well. We had good support from the fans when we started the season early this year. Not just from those fans coming to watch the games, but also the viewerships that we had on TV and on live streaming. For example, you know, the match between Tanjung Pagar and Lion City Sailors, and these are both teams that were making their first appearance in the league after so long, especially for Tanjung Pagar, and that nearly attracted 3,000 fans to catch the game at Jurong East Stadium. And as far as the live viewership numbers, we had only 13 fixtures that took place before we suspended. And we had over 1 million fans who tune in on various streaming platforms to catch those.
And lastly, Cezalee, before we wrap up today's podcast, we go to you for this week's Game of Two Halves Moment of the Week.
There are actually two moments from this past week. It's been an incredible weekend of sports action. The first is Iga Świątek winning the French Open at 19, becoming the first the youngest Grand Slam winner since Monica Seles in 1992. I think she marks the rise of a new wave of women players together with Naomi Osaka, Coco Gauff. The second is for people who like MMA, people like me, is Joaquin Buckley's incredible knockout at the UFC Fight Night event over the weekend. It's something, you know, straight out of a video game. It's this spinning, you know, corkscrew back leg kick thingy, which you know, completely knocked his opponent's lights out. And even for casual MMA fans, I think they should go check it out. It's really worth their 15 seconds.
Thanks, Cezalee. Well, there goes the final whistle on our sports discussion of the week. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us. And thank you once again to our very special guest, Yasin Buhari, General Secretary of the Football Association of Singapore. Thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you, Cezalee.
Thank you, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
To those listening, you can follow the Straits Times Game of Two Halves podcast on the Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcasts. You can also catch this episode on Straits Times YouTube channel later this week.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.